You know, I was thinking today and said, Lord, what can I talk to the people about tonight? You know, because I like to talk to you about something that can be not only help for you naturally, but also spiritually. And I want to talk about managing stress. Now, first of all, I want to read 2 Corinthians 1:8. I was going to read both New King James and New Living, but I'm just going to read the NLT. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. We thought we would never live through it. Now, Adam Clark in his commentary, I like Adam Clark commentaries. That's the one I usually go to is Adam Clark. I like him. I like the way he states it a little bit more down to normal language. Some of these guys, they get too theological in their commentary. But he says here, commenting on this verse, the original language is exceedingly emphatic. Here's what he said. We were weighted down beyond what is credible, even beyond what any natural strength could support. So we see that Paul was in a very stressful situation. He had a lot of pressure on him. Now, stressful situations happen to everybody. It's just a part of life. Now, the WebMD.com says stress is the body's reaction to harmful situations, whether they're real or perceived. When you feel threatened, a chemical reaction occurs in your body that allows you to act in a way to prevent injury. This reaction is known as fight or flight, or stress response. During stress response, your heart rate increases, breathing quickens, muscles tighten, blood pressure rises. You're getting ready to act. It's how you protect yourself. Now, I know that when I was young and playing ball, anytime that I was put in a stressful situation, because stress isn't always bad. In small doses, you perform under pressure. In fact, it motivates you. And I know that coach come by and said, "Now, Hagen, just do the best you can. I know you're up against somebody that's a little bit better than you, and you probably won't be able to outrun them," and so forth and so on. And man, I just said, "Coach, you just hide and watch." Of course, he knew what he was doing. He was putting that kind of pressure on me, so I would get reacted in the way that I needed to and go out and do my job. And after the game, I told him, I said, "I thought you said he was good." "Well, he is good, but he's not as good as you. But I wanted you to think that, so you go out and do what you're supposed to do." You know, we're not abnormal when we have stressful situations. And maybe I'm only speaking to a few people, but has anybody not ever been in a stressful situation? I don't see any hands. Thank God nobody lied. Because if you're breathing God's oxygen, you've had a stressful situation. You know, but having a constantly stretched out life, it's out of balance. Now, in the King James and the New King James Bible, the word stress is not used. Instead, words like worry, anxious, pressed, pressure, strain are used. Now, in some of the more modern, like New Living and Message, and some of them, they do use the word stress. Now you say, why are you talking about this tonight? Well, we all go through stressful times. But you know, it seems like during the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays that most of us at one time or another face stressful situations. You know, whether it's when you're out shopping or family situations or whatever, you know, you can have a stressful situation. Or you're trying to find a parking place at the mall and you see a good one and you start down there and here comes somebody coming up the wrong direction and whips into it. I don't know about you, but that can be a stressful situation as far as I'm concerned. And Pastor, just being honest, I sometimes wished I had a great big old truck with a big old cattle guard or deer guard on the front of it, and I just, oh, my brakes failed. Now, don't look at me like that. I know I'm not the only one that's ever thought that. But that's why, you know, everyone faces that. And this 1 Peter 4:12 says, dear friends, don't be surprised at fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange is happening to you. Now, from these verses of Scripture, we see everyone deals with something, some kind of situation. Peter here is emphasizing these are temporary and they're not a lifestyle. I think sometimes some people forget that stressful situations come and go. But you know, you got to get your focus off of the situation and realize that it can be handled. Now, there's a lot of things that cause stress, okay? Pressure on the job can cause stress. And, you know, when I want to look at this from a biblical standpoint later on. We'll get to that, but I want to do the introduction here. Financial situations cause stress. Health situation can cause stress. Marriage, family, other relationships, stress. Spiritual relationships, when you're not right, not where you should be, doing what God told you to do. Harassment, oppression, and the list goes on. Now, how we handle things in life can cause stress in our lives. What am I talking about? Well, if you're too busy and constantly in a hurry, you're going to put yourself in stress. If you never prioritize what's important, will cause stressful situation. If you try to keep a schedule, that's impossible. And some people do that. Well, if you can't keep a schedule that's impossible, then just say, hey, I can't do that. Hey, can you meet me somewhere? Well, you say, yeah, I'll meet you. Well, you start looking at your schedule and you've overscheduled. Then it becomes stressful because you gotta leave somebody out. And then you're gonna catch it from whoever you left out. If you're fearful and worrying and being anxious can cause stress. If you listen or watch too much negativism on television, I got where I hardly ever look at the news anymore. Half the time you don't know whether they're telling you the truth or not because they take stuff and twist it to make it line up with the way they see things. And you need to check out when people are, because a lot of people are taking scripture and twisting it to make it line up with what they believe. I better go on there. I'm not getting there. Unforgiveness or offense against others. If we have guilt or shame over the past, but if that tries to happen, you got to remind the devil that your past doesn't exist anymore. Old things were passed away, so they don't exist. So you ought to be able to get out of that one real easy. I'll tell you one, something that causes a lot of stress on people is they're comparing themselves to others, sometimes to their own cousins or siblings or some close friend. They're comparing them. And I've dealt with this with a lot of Rhema people that go out of here and they graduate in the same class, and this one goes out, he starts a church and it explodes, and this other guy goes, he starts a church and it's doing okay, but he's comparing himself to his buddy over here, and it puts him in a stressful situation until he leaves the church because, well, I'm not doing anything. Look what they're doing. Well, you know, there's a lot of preambles that you need to look at when you're comparing yourself to somebody else. What kind of situation are they in? What kind of town are they in? You know, if you're over here and you're in a town of 5,000 and you got 200 or 250 people, and he's over here in a town that's 50,000 and he's got 500, you're doing better than he is. But see, they don't look at it like that. They just look at the number. I'm talking about don't compare yourself to somebody else. My sister, when I was younger, she said, "Ken, you're just you. You don't care what anybody else does or says. You just do what you do, and if they don't like it, that's their problem." I said, "Well, that's the way it is." I had a guy tell me, and Lynette knows this, he didn't like my preaching. I looked him in the eye and said, "That's your problem, not mine." Turned around and walked off. You see, sometimes you just have to let stuff go. Don't let it stress you out. I wonder how many other people don't like how I preach. What difference does it make? God told me to preach. I'm preaching. I'm doing it. And it's the best I can do. And if you don't like it, then go somewhere else. That sounds like my dad. I've heard him say that. Well, anyway, if you're not true to yourself, try to be somebody else, it'll cause stress. Learn to be you. You know, anybody ever heard a guy by the name of Marcus Aurelius? He was a Roman emperor in AD 61 to 180. He said, I don't know I got this from a list of so-called five good emperors, but I don't know. If you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to itself, but to your estimation of it, and this you have the power to revoke at any moment. Man, that comes from way back. Continual stress is very harmful. God designed us to deal with things when they happen, but we're not designed to carry those things. John Newton, an Anglican clergyman, said this: "We can easily manage if we will only take each day the burdens appointed to it. But the load will be too heavy for us if we carry yesterday's burdens over again today and then add the burden of tomorrow before we're required to bear it." Things that stress you will become heavier the longer you carry it. a little story. This actually is supposed to have happened. An instructor was walking around the room while teaching a stress management course. And she raised a glass of water as she walked, and everybody was expecting her to ask the question, you know, is this glass half full or half empty? But instead, she asked, how heavy is this water, this glass of water? Well, some people said 8 ounces, some people said 20 ounces, some people said 16 ounces, you know. And she replied then, the actual weight doesn't matter. It depends on how long I hold it. If I hold it for a minute, it's not a problem. If I hold it for an hour, my arm will probably start to ache a little bit. If I hold it for a day, my arm will feel numb and paralyzed. In each case, the weight of the glass doesn't change. But the longer I hold it, the heavier it gets. So she said, stress and worries in life are like this glass of water. Think about them for a while, nothing happens. But think about them for a bit longer, it begins to hurt. Think about them all day long and you'll feel paralyzed and incapable of doing anything. Stress makes you look at things that are not real. Winston Churchill, if you don't know who he was the great prime minister. He was one of the greatest prime ministers that England has ever had. He was prime minister during World War II. He and FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president of the United States, were the two statesmen that were instrumental in us winning World War II. And he said this, when I look back on all these worries, I remember the story an old man said on his deathbed. He had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened. A lot of stress comes from things imagined, but they never happen. Going back again to the website, WebMD, there's several signs that a person may be stressed out. Feeling like you're losing control. Constant worry. Constantly. Over and over again, worrying about the same thing. Forgetfulness, disorganization, inability to focus, poor judgment, low energy, insomnia, becoming easily agitated and frustrated or moody, headaches, upset stomachs, aches, pains, tense muscles, dry mouth, difficulty swallowing, clenched jaws, grinding your teeth, changing appetite, either not eating or eating too much, procrastinating and avoiding responsibilities. Now, I'm not saying that you're stressed out because you may have had a few of these signs overnight. But you may be dealing with stress if these are things that you continue to deal with over a period of time. Now, let's go Mark 4, and we've talked about it in other ways, is the parable of Jesus mentions the four kinds of people. Those with seed was sown on the wayside, those like the seed sown in stony ground, those like seed sown on thorny ground, those like seed sown on good ground. Now, each of these people handle the word or responded differently to the word of God when they hear it, because of what was going on in their life. Now, I want to zero in on this one, the one sown on thorny ground, Mark 18:19. I'm going to read it. Well, I'll read it from the New King James, then I'm going to read the Message. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns, are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, I like the way the Message says it. The seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. See, when you are continually in a stressful situation, it takes away your ability to take the Word of God and understand that it, your help is there. It restricts you. Have you ever shared the Word of God with a person that was going through a difficult situation and you could tell it wasn't registered? Anybody ever done that? You know why? Because when people are in a stressful situation, that you have to get them to say, hey, forget about that for a minute. Listen to what the Word says, because it's hard for anything to register when a person is in a very stressful situation. Stress makes you oblivious to the possibilities that exist with God. Sometimes a stressed out person doesn't notice the very thing that could help them. Now, people in the Bible had to deal with stressful situations. David dealt with it all the time. You ever read after him? I mean, I think he had some stressful situations. Time and time again, when you read his Psalms, he would start out in a low spirit at the beginning of the psalm, but at the end, he was praising God. Now look at what Psalms 42:11 in the Message says. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix your eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. You know, that he deals with his stressful situation. He says, hey, why am I down in the dumps? Why am I crying the blues? Let me look to my God. And he begins to praise God. And he said it put a smile on his face. Have you ever thought about the Apostle Paul? Did he ever go through pressure situations? He did, but he didn't focus on the situation. Instead, he was conscious that that was a temporary thing that would pass. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forgotten. Struck down, but not destroyed. The New Living, that same scripture says, we are pressed on every side by troubles. We're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. And I got a sermon I preached one time, knocked down, but not knocked out. You see, let's look at David, how he handled stress. David immersed himself with God. Psalms 119, 143 in the NLT. Psalms 119, 143 in the NLT. As pressures and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. He was talking about he found joy in what the Lord commanded him. See? The Lord, he found that pressure was on, stress was on, but he found joy from what the Lord said, his commands, what he's supposed to do. Give the Lord praise in everything. In everything, give thanks. You're not giving thanks for the situation or the pressure. You're giving thanks because you know God is there to deliver. You may not feel like, especially if you're in a stressful, you don't feel like praising God. But David said, as the pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Hello. Jesus said, make sure that God and his plans are number one in your life. Of course, we know that, 633, Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God above all this, live righteous, he'll give you everything you need. Here, Jesus saying, focus only on, in the next verse, many people don't read this, they go 633 and stop. But Jesus said, focus only things that are happening today and don't borrow from tomorrow. There's more, that's where trust in God comes in. Now look at Message Bible of Matthew 6:34. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. There's stress. I don't know how many people get stressed out over thinking about what could happen tomorrow. Well, it may not even happen. Why get stressed out over it? But it said, God will help you deal with whatever hard thing comes up when it comes. Hello. And I don't know how many people that I have dealt with through the years that they get all worked up over what might happen. And it never happened. That's what he's saying here. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever happens or hard thing that comes up when the time comes. When it comes, he'll help you deal with it. Hello. I talked about this a little bit about staying full of the Holy Spirit on Sunday. How many of you heard me Sunday? I talked about staying full of the Holy Spirit. That's when the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do in a stressful situation. But if you get so wrapped up in it, your head so wrapped up in it, you can't hear your spirit telling you what to do and to get out of it. And that's what it's saying here. When the time comes, he'll tell you. Now, Paul said, avoid getting so busy in your life that you forget God. Now, a lot of people do that. You know, they get so wrapped up in the situation, they forget about God. That should be the first thing that comes. But through the years, I've been doing this 67 years, and through the years, I've seen people get in a bad situation and they start hollering, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. And yet, just 3 weeks ago, I heard them quoting the Word of God. God is my source. God is my helper. I can do all things through Christ. Now, all of a sudden, because the stressful situation coming on, they're saying, oh, what am I going to do? Don't look at me like that. I know none of you, but you all know somebody. Have you ever noticed that sometimes people come up and, now, Brother Hagin, listen. I got a friend that has this situation. What do you think about it? I thought, well, I wonder if the friend's name is the same as yours. How many know what I'm talking about? He said, avoid. In Romans 13:11 in the Message Bible, the reason I'm reading this is because it talks it more in our language. Be sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all of your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off oblivious to God. Have you ever seen somebody get so wrapped up in a stressful situation that they just forget about God? I have. Anybody else ever seen anybody like that? Well, got several people raising their hand. Paul said to recognize the most stressful situations are temporary and they will change. Of course, we know that. 2 Corinthians 4:17, 18, we read it all the time. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them all and lasts forever. We don't look at the troubles we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Peter said, unload all your burdens and your stress. Live carefree before God. He's he's most careful for you. He cares for you. Here, that's Peter, 1 Peter 1:7. Now, there is a lot of things you can do in the natural, sure. But tonight, I wanted you to see that from a biblical standpoint, you can deal with stress. From the biblical standpoint, Paul did it, David did it. And so, I want to read this last story. You might get something from it. This guy wrote this, and he said, I recently hired a plumber to help me in the business. And he had a rough first day on the job. He had a flat tire that made him lose an hour of work. His electric drill quit. And at the end of the day, his one-ton truck refused to start. So I drove him home. He sat there, stony-faced in silence. On arriving at his house, he invited me in to meet his family. At the front door, he paused briefly at a small tree, touching the branches of the tree with both hands. Then he opened the door, and he underwent an amazing transformation. A smile broke out on his face. He hugged his two small children, gave his wife a kiss. And afterwards, we walked out to my car. As we passed the tree, I asked him about what I'd seen him do early. Oh, that's my trouble tree. I know I can't help having troubles on the job, but one thing is for sure, those troubles don't belong in the house with my wife and children. So I just hang them on that tree every night when I come home and ask God to take care of them. Then in the morning, I pick them up again. The funny thing is, now listen to this, the funny thing is, he smiled, when I come out in the morning to pick them up, there aren't nearly as many as I remember. You see, we need to take all of our burdens and our cares to God. In fact, he says to do that. He tells us to do that. So let's decide that in our stressful situations, to make sure that we do what we need to do in the natural, but also realize that there is a biblical side that we can go to help us in a stressful situation. And one of the things you can do in the middle of your most stressful situation is decide to start praising God. And I guarantee you, if you start praising God in the middle of a stressful situation, it won't be but a few minutes until you'll be singing with a heart that has been revitalized, and you'll have a smile on your face, because you can't start praising God without it changing you. Heavenly Father, just talk to the people tonight about life and things that we deal with in life, and that we can use the Word of God to deal with any situation we have. I thank you, Father, that we all will now deal with every situation the way it needs to be dealt with, and it will not become a problem for us, and we will live that good and abundant life that you have promised us. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Everybody stand, please. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Thank God two people did. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. At least I helped two people. If you happen to be here tonight with us and you do not know Jesus Christ was your personal Savior, so you couldn't do what I was talking about, the ladies are here, the men are over here. As we're dismissed, if you'll come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front and they'll pray with you. Remember all the announcements that we have, and I want to encourage you. You can get people to come to a Christmas program at a church that you never get them to come and hear a message. But in that program, the message of the gospel is given. So, and then the candlelight and carols and communion service is a wonderful service. People will come to that a lot of times that they won't go hear anybody preach. So that's two places. And then people are always wanting to get involved. I want to get involved. I want to do something. Well, we just announced that there's an opportunity to go to the nursing home and minister to those people. And I know, because my dad's mom was in a nursing home for a number of years, and she would say, I'm so thankful for my family. Y'all are always coming here to see me. And she would name 5 to 10 people that were on her floor. She said, I have never seen anybody come to visit them. And that's an opportunity. That's a ministry opportunity. Someone said, well, it's not preaching. Well, let me tell you what. There's a lot of ministry that's done without preaching. Okay? So I just want to encourage you. There's a lot of things that we can get involved in. Just like everybody, we brought the toys for the Toys for Tots. That's one way of blessing somebody. You know, the Word of God says if you bless people, you'll be blessed. Didn't it say that? My dad always said, I don't ever pray to be blessed. I pray, God, make me a blessing and I'll be blessed. Praise the Lord. All right, that's my little deal on that. But hey, if you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm not going to let stress rule my life. And we'll see you right here Sunday morning. God bless.